public comment period, or is that coming up?
That's coming up.
Yeah.
We're going to the regular meeting now.
Okay.
That was the organization.
Okay, roll call for the regular board meeting, January 27th. Fred Bodnola.
Here.
Catherine Beinkoffner.
Here.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Lisa Meaton.
Here.
Joanne Myers.
Present.
Timothy Rose.
Here.
Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Angelina Peone.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
Brenda Whitaker.
Here.
We've already had the Pledge of Allegiance, so public comment.
Public comment. Do you have any public comment from the audience?
Yeah. My name is Shabazz Jackson. I'm with the Recycling Oversight Committee. I was appointed last year. And in reading the agenda, I didn't see a section on the solid waste management plan. So I was specifically wondering what the status of that was and kind of where it was in the process.
You want me to speak to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Right now there's comments with the engineering firm. They've assembled comments from the public and that whole list. They have a response that's a draft response that they and it was passed on to the board to make sure that it's in keeping with what the board wants to respond to the comments as well as to DEC, because DEC wants a copy of those comments too. But before they send them out, they don't want to send them out on their own without having the board's blessing, and that's what the board is looking at. So, but once the board has approved it, I know I emailed everyone copies of that. Once the board has approved that that's the way that they want to go, or if they have comments, then they'll move forward with publicly sending those comments out, including the DEC.
And your comments were actually submitted to the contractor who works on the plan, the engineering firm. Mm-hmm. So we did get comments from them, and they were passed on.
Yep.
So where would the finished plan appear? Where it would be read by the public?
The finished one? Once everything goes to DEC and DEC approves that, then it has to go to the legislature to be finalized, and then it's completed. It's done. So we're still in the draft mode, where the final product hasn't been done yet. They have to still address the comments. That's where we are.
I have a question too. Then in saying that,
yeah.
Is there a place where, as the public, I can go and say, oh, okay, it was sent to the DEC on this date. Oh, DEC responded back to you on that date, and so I can see like what's the next step. And I would be very interested in what the DEC's comments are. You know.
Right.
Like, just as you guys are, as the public, I'm very interested in what their input on the plan is and what the comments being returned are, I mean, as the public. So is there a place to go for that? Because the only thing I've ever seen is the draft that comments were made on, but I've not seen anything beyond that.
Right. There's no place per se. I mean, if they put something in writing, by all means, that can be accessed. I mean, I can provide
but
it to you.
But how do we know that?
That's not an issue. But because some of it is verbal over the phone with the contractor and so forth. So, I mean, those I can't address.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, all this information is publicly, it's open to the public. There's no problem with that at all. I mean, right now, the point that we're in right now is that it's the contractor's responsibility, the consultant's responsibility to take all these comments that it was received and to address those comments and what they think, how the board want it done. But before that's sent out, they have to make sure that the board is on, because the board has to review it. That's where it is right now. The board is reviewing those comments to make sure it's in line with what the board wants. Now, for instance, one of the comments the board may not agree with and say, no, we want this reworded. We don't agree with the way you wrote. And then so once the board agrees to that, then it gets sent off to DEC, because DEC wants to see those comments as well.
Tim, so that would be, so it would be updated, the board would be updated through old business and would be in our minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you would access that information, right?
Yeah.
Right, but the minutes are not, like the minutes from December, unless you didn't have a December meeting, are not posted yet
It's still draft because we haven't approved them.
They haven't approved them yet.
Right. So I'm saying like, okay, you're really like a month and a half behind. Like if something is happening, there's no way to go into the minutes and really stay abreast of what's really currently going on.
And you can always call me. And I take any phone call, believe me.
Even mine?
Even yours. Absolutely. Yeah. More so yours. But yeah, I mean, you could always call me. You can call me anytime. Manny can call me anytime. Everybody, you know, my phone is always, my door is always open to anybody. That's just the way I've been. I've been in government service for 25 years, and I've always been that every job I've had.
So let me just jump then down the road a little bit. It's the DEC gets back to Cornerstone or to you to say, here's what we, you know, we'd like more information or we'd like clarification. I mean, I've seen how they respond to stuff.
That's been done. That was done over the past year. It's been going back and forth. Actually, you know.
Oh, I thought they didn't get it until December when the comments went in.
Well, they got, I'm going, it depends on which version you're talking about, because there's also another set of comments on the other plan as well. So this plan has been in the making for years, and it stopped, and then it started again, and so forth. So it's been, there's several iterations of this.
So the iteration right now is going to go from the DEC to you, then to the legislature, and then it's...
Essentially, yes, but you got to understand too that when we first started this project, we sat in this room with DEC, and DEC said, this is what we expect out of the plan. And then we had another meeting with DEC. Well, and a lot of this was verbal. It was just, you know, we want the plan to tweak this way or this way. This is more in line with what we're looking for. Okay. We met with the consultant, met with DEC, and DEC had probably five people here. You know, so it was a lot of that. It was a lot, and there was a couple emails went back and forth and a couple of questions. So, It's an ongoing process. I can't point to one single letter because this has been going on. Geez, they started writing that plan in at least a year ago.
Right.
At least a year ago because it was.
I think October was a year or two.
Yeah, something like that, right? So because it was like in April of 18 that I got the comment letter from the plan we submitted 6.5 years ago. You know, and then the board decided, well, they didn't know where Gus was going at that time, you know,
right.
Green Ulster Sullivan.
Right.
So they decided not to answer those questions. So then at some point they said, well, we're going to hire a consultant and start working on this plan. So this, and our first meeting, I think, was in July of 18.
It was
July of 18. It was our first meeting with DEC on
right.
this plan.
I'm really more not concerned. My interest right now is, where is it now? And then, how does it make its way through for approval, with the legislature? Am I right, Manna? And so it goes. It's with Cornerstone answering the DEC's last.
No.
The public comments.
Public comments.
Okay, with the public comments.
Right.
At Cornerstone,
And
then where does it go?
Cornerstone has all the comments.
Right.
It's their job to answer those comments, but they're not the spokespeople of the agency. The board, these five people are.
Right, they're going to send it back to you.
So they're going to send it back to back to the board, which they have now. They said, is this okay how we're responding to these questions?
Right.
So before they move any further, that's where it stopped. So before it moves any further, they have to get the blessing of these five individuals. And then that can be released to the public. The public wants to see how this has been addressed too. Right? So that can be released to the public. It can be put on our website. So the public has access to see how this board is responding to the public's questions, okay? And then they have to approve the draft once it's set, okay? Because there may be adjustments that might be made in the plan, right? Depending on how the public comments are. And so if there's adjustments in the plan, it's going to go to the board. The board will approve this draft. And then it goes to DEC. And then DEC looks at it. And looks at all the public comments. Did we address the public comments, and was it appropriate how we addressed the public comments from their point of view? And then once that's done, DEC sends us what they call an approvable letter, which means it's all done. Okay, this is it. Now the next step, it just goes to the legislature for ratification so it can be formally implemented. That's the process.
Okay, so when it goes to the legislature, there's no further public input at that point. Once
not typically there isn't.
So how does the public stand
if you do,
before it's ratified? I guess that's my question.
Because once those public comments are addressed,
right.
And if there's a tweak to the plan, then that plan is out in draft, and then you could see it at that point, and this board of directors, before it goes any further, has to approve it. Right? So, and then once they approve it, they say, okay, now this is the plan, we've addressed all the public comment, we feel comfortable on how we address the public's comments, and we've tweaked the plan in accordance with those comments, or we haven't, or whatever the case may be. Now we're set with it. And the public can see all this. That's not a problem.
And we could come in at that point, when you're all voting on that, saying, yes, this looks mm-hmm. good or it doesn't look good. That right. would be an open meeting that we
you can address yeah. it in public comments.
Yeah. Sure.
Here.
Just like yeah. here.
Yes, that's yep. what I'm asking. Yeah. That's good.
And then once the board has said, okay, this is it, we're good, we're done with it, then it'll go to DEC, and the DEC will review it,
right.
look at the public comments to see okay. if did we address them.
Right. Give the approval letter.
Get the approvable letter, and they say, okay, we're done. This plan is done. Now just send it to the legislature for ratification.
Okay.
And I'm sure then at that point there probably would be public comment.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. If at that point when the legislature gets it.
Yeah.
Well, there won't be any public comment, I don't think, when the legislature gets it, because then it's a finished product that the legislature will either approve it or not approve it.
What if they don't approve it? You know, what if they'll not approve it?
Then they'll send it back to the board, and then at that time, we would probably go back to Cornerstone and DEC.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The last plan that was submitted in 2010, it took the DEC six years to approve it.
6 years and 4 months.
Okay. All right. I think I'm just
counting. My concern is that there were many comments, and then there were some consensus comments from the Solid Waste Management Planning Commission. I'm concerned that sending the comments to Cornerstone, you guys are the client, and it seems to me that you should be giving Cornerstone some direction. I'm concerned that you send them, Cornerstone processes it and gives it back to you. Now, I understand Cornerstone, you know, did the heavy lifting of drafting the plan, but it just seems to me that some of those comments were significant and that the agency board should be giving Cornerstone some direction rather than just simply letting them process it and make the recommendations to the board, which you're, you know, you can accept or reject. But I guess I expected to hear some conversation about the comments by the board and not just send them to Cornerstone and have them create the responses and send them back to you. And just while I'm speaking, I want to commend the agency staff and board for taking our training on zero waste and taking waste diversion really seriously. Out of that training, I think those of us who took the training are all hoping to really create a zero waste plan that focuses on waste diversion, because the plan looks at the big picture, you know, start to finish, anything to do with solid waste. This will enhance, this process will enhance the plan in terms of waste diversion, and I'm very grateful for that. But I am concerned about, you know, it seems to me that as the client, the agency board should be giving the consultant direction rather than the other way around. But, you know, that's up to you. It's just my take on it.
Oh, That's interesting, Manager. I mean, we hired Cornerstone because they have the expertise, and we paid them an awful lot of money to facilitate this plan, and it was something new that we hadn't done before. We wrote the plan in-house in 2010, and that wasn't done this time, and so we relied a lot upon the expertise and the money that was spent for them to do the right job. They did get all the public comment. They did, as far as I read through it, they did incorporate most of the comments in the plan. Now, maybe I missed something, I'm not sure. But maybe you have more expertise than I do, and maybe you could, you know, give some specifics of what you think was left out of the plan. Or maybe some of the board members that are more, you know.
I think the most specific recommendation, and I think you two are on, who's on the, remind me, Solid Waste Planning Commission? Okay. Was the idea of considering both biomass/ANSORCA and municipal solid waste composting at the same time early on in the evaluation process, starting with looking, you know, doing a feasibility study for a potential landfill either in the county or in the region, but then there was actually a recommendation by the Solid Waste Commission to put those two technologies on a level playing field, and they felt that that doing the evaluation for export by rail would could be done very inexpensively. And you three were there, so, you know, is that your memory as well? I believe that, you know, Fawn took notes, and we had several discussions about it, and people sent individual, Tracy Bartels, who was chair at the time, and I and the folks from Greenway and others sent in comments. Some of those were incorporated, but then there was actually a discussion at the commission, at the Solid Waste Planning Commission, and I'm concerned that it shouldn't be up to Cornerstone to evaluate that. It seems to me that the board should be or can be giving Cornerstone direction. That's a specific example. I don't have all of them in front of me, and I'm going by my memory, but I can probably pull it up on my computer. I don't want to drag out this discussion. I'm just using that as an example.
No, I mean, so we did send one of our board members who's traveling to Europe, who visited the ANSORCA process in Italy and in United Kingdom. So, I mean, we had a lengthy discussion about that process. We have been very proactive, I feel, looking at different possibilities, you know, for processing different things, and we have been looking for landfills. I mean, you know, I spoke to Tracy just 2 days ago about the trip that we took up north to look at that at a prospective landfill area. That, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. Just exactly what you're.
Well, it's up to the board to decide, but my suggestion, my hope was that the board, on specific suggestions like that, that the board would discuss those and guide the, you know, Cornerstone, rather than doing it in the opposite direction. You may need more information. You may need to hear from them before you know, you take that up. But you know, I guess I thought the process would be a little different, that the board would look through the comments, see the ones that they felt were most valuable, and give that information to Cornerstone as you're, you know, as they're working on it. It can happen in the other direction, but I specifically hope that the suggestions that came from the Solid Waste Planning Commission will be taken up by the board and evaluated.
Well, as far as I know, everything was submitted to Cornerstone, unless something was submitted that I'm not aware of, but all the recommendations were submitted to Cornerstone, right, Tim?
As far as I know.
Well, the recommendations don't appear in the last draft of the plan that I read. And I'll give you an example. We recommended that in the implementation stage, that first year of implementation, they put out an RFP for a comprehensive recycling proposal that would include a cost. And in reading the minutes from the public hearing, Joanne Myers asked a question about you know, how the technologies that were chosen, and I guess Mark from Cornerstone said they were chosen for cost. And he said the cost of composting was exorbitant. And I think that I made the suggestion about putting together an RFP because it would be easy to get a real understanding and some solid numbers rather than the numbers that were projected in the plan, which appear to those of us who are doing the composting, those numbers appear to be exorbitant. And making a decision on those numbers, you know, if they're not correct, would lead you to bad decisions.
So you think the cost of our composting operation is exorbitant?
No, I didn't say that.
No, I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
What the plans, what the section in the plan that deals with composting,
right,
has numbers associated with the cost of four different technologies or approaches to it. And each one of those range from $90 to about $136 a ton. And those numbers, the reason why they chose the Ensorba incinerator, which has a projected number of $103 a ton, and the cost per ton is what they made their decisions on.
Are you saying, when you say composting, are you talking about municipal solid waste composting? Like the Delaware operation?
No, food waste composting.
Food waste, okay.
Yes. So they had the four different technologies. They, here they use a, forced air static pile. That's what they use here. And they projected the cost of forced air static pile at about $120 per ton. And they made their decisions on the Ensorga technology, which projected a cost of $103 per ton. So now when you look at the implementation, they're going to, not they, but you are.
Yes.
You're going to study Ensorga, and you're going to study landfilling, and you're not going to study a 30,000 ton composting system. And what I suggested was to put the 30,000 ton composting system out to bid and get some solid numbers and then make your comparison.
It's a solid waste management plan, though, not a recycling plan.
No, it's not. It's a solid waste management plan, but the way you manage compost and the way you implement the plan impacts your decision making.
The landfills in this order are MSW. It's a plan on MSW.
It's not a plan on MSW. It's a plan on solid waste. And MSW is a component of solid waste. But so is C&D and so is sludge.
Right.
All of those are components of the solid waste plan, and the composting is a component of the plan. It has to be in consideration because the weight of our MSW is organic waste. So if you don't look at the whole picture,
We're doing it now, though. So, I mean, if we have a composting plan in place and we get 30,000 tons or we get 10,000 tons, we have that in place already. It's existing.
But in the implementation, right now, there's no plan to
I think they're looking for, Tim, help me, I'm sorry, I think they're looking for a final solution, right, on solid waste in general.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're there. And may I, so my comment that you referenced, right, was, you know, how do they come up with that priority? I wanted to know that because I don't think cost is the be all and end all when we are making a decision. Yeah, so all of that range we need to know, right? Because some of them might not be as effective, or, you know, part of our, you know, what we need to do to best serve our garbage.
Our waste problem. We want to keep, right, landfills are going to be closing, airspace is going to be gone, and we're trying to find a solid waste solution is what we're trying to do, right, long term, right, to look out for the best interests of Ulster County. That includes everything.
Yeah, and that's why, for instance, I propose that we say that we're working towards a zero waste, right, because it's not just the agency working towards a zero waste, it's us as members of the community that have to work towards zero waste ourselves.
But if it's not in the implementation, carry it out?
If you're not studying it, you're studying the Ensorga and you're going to study
the landfill.
If you don't put in, like, let's look at a more comprehensive way to handle uh-huh. that organic fraction, that, let's face it, like, you're only getting, like, you know, a piece of it. The other compost, you're only getting a piece of it. There's so much more out there, and you pull that out, that greatly reduces the volume of the other material.
So, what, 20-25%, right, of the waste that goes to the landfill is, right, Ange?
No, it's about 40%. Regardless, I mean, if it's not in the plan to say we're going to study it, then it doesn't get studied. And it's like, it's a lost opportunity for this county to take a leadership in you're not doing it. It's not in the plan. So I don't know why you keep saying that. And the Ensorga that was looked at in Italy never ran. It was, and this is from the board member, from his mouth to my ears, it did not run. It was not in operation. The place was full of flies and it stunk. So, yeah, I'm not saying, like, look, things have breakdowns. Well, let's.
But, Joanne, that's garbage. You're talking about a garbage. You know, you're talking about a garbage process in place.
Yeah.
We're not talking about composting on that.
Well, I realize that, but I'm saying here we've made this commitment. We're going to study this. We're going to study that. I think that it should have been a little more open in the decision. Like, what was going to be looked at? And that's all we're saying. And if you go with that commitment, you're only looking at two things. You've eliminated one possibility.
I just want to say real quick, the reason you haven't seen anything, any of the comments addressed in any, like Shabazz, you mentioned about the last plan you looked at, mm-hmm. because we're not at that point yet.
Well, that's what I was asking you. Why do we see it? And it seems like we don't.
That's why I was saying earlier, Cornerstone has the comments. They've addressed the comments. But before they release that to the public, or before the board releases it to the public, they have to make sure that these five individuals, these are the policymakers, these five individuals are okay the way that they address the comments. Because if this board is not okay with the way Cornerstone addressed them, this board is going to get back to Cornerstone and say, no, this is not correct. We don't want this answered this way. We want you to take a look at this. So we're not even, and then they have to make adjustments to the plan. So that's why you don't see anything, because we're not there yet.
Which went back to my initial, when we started this meeting, of when are we going to, it just seems like there's not an opportunity for real change at that point. I mean, it seemed to me like unless I contact you on a regular basis, or the minutes are going to be a month and a half behind. I understand they have to be approved before they can be put on the website. So the public doesn't have a very real-time sense of how this is going.
Yeah, well, I mean, this has to be done in a public forum, you know, for them to approve the draft plan. So that's going to be in the public forum. So that's, you know, so the we had an open period for public comment.
Right.
Okay? We collected all those comments. Cornerstone, and I know Manna preferred it to go the other way, but it's typical in this type of field and with other counties, because they've done numerous of these plans for other counties, that the consultant takes these comments, addresses the comments, but before that is released, because they're not the spokespeople for this agency. These five people are. And before that's released, they have to make sure that this board is okay with the way they've addressed them. And more than likely, I'd be shocked, you know, if this board was 100% behind everything they said. You know, and there's going to be comments from each individual, one of these individuals, and say, no, this is the way I want it addressed. I want this changed. I don't like the way you address this. And they're going to get back to Cornerstone, and then Cornerstone is going to revise it until they're comfortable with the way that they address the public comment and the way that they incorporate it into the plan. But we're not there yet.
Okay.
We're just not at that point. So that's where we are.
Okay.
An update.
Do we have any other public comments?
I have one more comment.
Sure.
I made an application to the board to the county for a seat on the board. And that application was denied for the 2019. And then I received a notice to resubmit my application. This was maybe, say, in October time frame. And we resubmitted the application and have never heard anything about this year. And just to clean everything up, right? I would like to kind of withdraw my application to this board. I'm not sure if the computer generated the request or not, but I'm very satisfied with my position. I committed to my position on the oversight committee for 3 years. And I don't feel like if I left the oversight committee for whatever reason, they wouldn't have a quorum anymore, right? You need 9 people, and I cut it down to 8 if I left. So, I am committed to the oversight committee and would like to, I don't know if I can withdraw my application here.
That wouldn't go to us. It goes to the legislature.
It doesn't come here. It doesn't come here. We don't see anyone who applies to be on this board here. It goes all through the legislature.
So what do you think? Should I hit?
You don't have to do anything.
That's up to you.
If you don't apply for this year.
No, I did apply for this year.
Oh, you did apply for
this? Yes. I was asked to apply.
For 2020.
And we submitted. For this year.
Now he wants to withdraw.
Probably Fawn.
Yeah.
Manna,
yeah.
Would it be Fawn?
Yeah.
Contact Fawn Tantillo.
Yep.
She would be the person to speak with in the legislature.
Well, I think she got transferred, though, to another job.
She's
still there?
Fawn?
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's good to
she told me she was going to be.
You said Fawn?
Fawn. She's not going to be
Friday.
The confidential secretary anymore. She's going to have a new job up on the 6th floor.
Oh, okay.
That's what she told me.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
You call the legislature, they'll lead you right direction.
Yeah. If you call the legislature, you know, because all the applications, everything goes through the legislature.
Yeah. Doesn't it go through your committee?
I would guess she's still the clerk for energy and environment, and that's where those applications. No.
No, she's going to be up there. She just told me she's going to have a new job. Right? She's going to have a new job.
But I don't think they're going to change the committee assignments very much.
Oh, I don't think so at all, are they?
Fine, yeah.
Okay. All right, any other comments?
No, thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you. Okay, comments from the chair. We did have the engineers come down and look at the new area where we're planning on moving the composting operation. We did hire a backhoe and went over and did some test borings to see how much clay was over there and to measure that in case we have use of clay in the future. So it came out very nicely. And there's a lot of clay over there, so we're lucky. Okay, approval minutes. You have minutes from the 23rd. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of December 23rd's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
And I will second.
I have a motion made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously. General reports, executive director.
Next regular board meeting. Reason we left that blank because the organizational meeting, we weren't sure what you were going to do. So that's scheduled for
February 24th.
Is that what it is, the 24th? Okay, February 24th, fourth Monday of the month at noon. Okay, okay. General reports. First of all, before I start general reports, if I can just make one comment, Chairman, real quick. As you all know, I was out for 8 weeks due to my leg. When I received my excellent education from Marist and the MPA program, a little plug for Marist, I had a professor there that stood up one day in class and said, "You're being trained to be an executive director of some agency, some nonprofit, some public, you know, benefit corporation." He said, "You should be able to go away for a month, and there shouldn't be a hiccup in the place. Whatever place you're running, there shouldn't be a hiccup in it. And if there is a hiccup in the place, you didn't put the right people in charge, and you didn't put the right controls in place." And I'll never forget him saying that. And I just want you to know that these guys did a great job, all the staff, Tim and Charlie and Melinda and Angie, and everyone did a great job here. Everything ran really smoothly, so... So I was really happy to hear that. So I just wanted to say that publicly, that it worked really well. So, okay. Now, reports. Let's do the end of year. We'll forget about December. We'll look at the big numbers. MSW for the targets for the targeted tons, as you can see, was 127, roughly. We brought in 136. For a difference of 9,000 to the good. In the next column, you'll see that over there. And the sludge, we were down by 81 tons, which is really nothing when you look at the magnitude of the volume that we brought in. So we were 9,000 tons. That's a substantial number to the good. I did look at, Tim provided some information for me this morning to review, and I looked it over, and a large portion of that is C&D. Our C&D volume over the past couple of years has really gone up. The MSW has pretty much stayed pretty consistent, roughly. I'm not going to say exactly roughly, but the C&D number has gone up considerably than what it used to be years ago.
Just for my clarification, the MSW was 137,000 tons?
That's where? 136. That was for MSW, C&D, everything.
Oh, for everything for the whole year.
Yes. Yeah. If do you have this?
I guess I never picked it up.
Oh, there's some of
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You feel free to grab this, Shabazz. Yeah. And this is the tons for the entire year, month by month. So you have all your information there. Any questions on that?
So what is the percentage of C&D that Tim gave you, Tim?
It's about What, do you know what it is up there?
In the
about
past,
a third, right?
In the past, it was usually around 21-22%. This year, it was up over 24%.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's about a, but you'll see all that on the treasurer's report, okay, too. I'm glad we did that this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's a telling sign, especially with flow control, to see MSW stay flat. It makes sense.
Now, what does that normally tell you if the C&D goes up? It normally tells you the economy is doing pretty good because people are, they're remodeling their basement, they're remodeling their kitchen. You know, people don't do that when the economy is in the tank.
So, weather seems to play a role too.
Weather plays a role. Weather plays a role.
Warmer, the C&D will keep rolling in. Once it gets cold, we'll have a down week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll see typically, you know, the contractors aren't working in January and February. A few years ago, we had a nice warm January and February, and the C&D rates were still up. And I was talking to a personal friend of mine who's a contractor, and he said, Tim, I didn't stop working the whole winter. Usually in January and February, I'm sitting home.
And it flattens out then the rest of the, you know what I mean, into the second quarter as opposed to spiking as it used to in April.
Yeah, in April, usually spikes goes through the roof.
Okay, thank you.
My leg hurts.
Stand up.
I might stand up.
Yeah,
If you don't mind, I'm just going to stand up. My knee really hurts. Okay, recycling tonnage report. Did we go with the first report?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Recycling tonnage report. Okay, let's look at, again, if you don't mind, I'm just going to skip December. I'll go right to the totals. Commingle for 2018 was 525. And if you look up, we're substantially up to 1168. For the commingle, the glass was at almost 500 in 18. This year it's 545, up just slightly. Mixed news was a little over 1,000, and that's up to 1330. Kingston City Mix, which again we didn't have in 2018, it was 603 for the year, and the single stream, I don't know if they bother looking at that. The OCC, this is the one we like to look at. The OCC 1552 last year, and it's up to over 2,000. And the one I know that'd be of interest, especially to Josephine and Shabazz, the food waste this year, or in 2018, was 35.37. And this year, up to 46.21, roughly. So that's up substantially. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to see, more of the food waste. Any questions on this? No?
I know that, I don't know if this is appropriate time, but I know you're going to meet with the mayor about...
I spoke with Steve last Tuesday. He called me on my first day back and said he wanted to set up a meeting for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I've sent him an email. I haven't heard anything back yet. But he wanted to tentatively schedule for tomorrow because Tuesday is the day that they bring in this material. So he wanted to specifically be here on a Tuesday with his Public Works Director. What's his title? Supervisor?
Superintendent.
Public Works.
Mm-hmm. And Tim, I may just say that the economy goes up because of Kingston City.
That's because of Kingston, that's right.
So you know, that number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good point. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's tentatively scheduled for tomorrow, but I haven't heard yet from him exactly the time.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. The recycling market report. Again, the top half of the page, you'll see who we sold, or who was giving us what price for what, and the NRs as if they didn't return our phone calls or emails. On the bottom half of the page, you'll see who we sold it to and for what price we sold it. Mm-hmm. Any questions on this?
I'll entertain a motion to accept the...
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
I just wanted to add on top of that, next month we'll have those graphs for you guys, and anything that's sold, we were able to figure it out. A little too late, but I think Kathy had brought it up as well. If you go to like a stock ticker or whatever, where Brenna was working on getting that so that we could basically put a little arrow or a text box showing what we sold that month as a part of that graph. So.
Cool.
We'll have that next month because I know we spoke about
doing
it on here. And rather, I had mentioned about putting it on the bottom right of this, that wasn't going to work because of the timing of everything.
And not enough room.
Timing. So, you know, we're going to go towards giving you guys the graph so that you can see it. And then if we sell something, we'll put in, you know, what we sold this for and how much we want to generate it. All right?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Somebody with double duty in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think she heard that.
No, Catherine, you missed that. Somebody had two jobs last month.
Yeah. You're very busy.
All right, Ulster leachate. You'll see in 2018 we did 1941. This year we did 1866 for a slight decrease. And at New Paltz we had a slight increase of 1669. And 1190, roughly 1190. So 1,190 and 60 gallons. So 1.1, I probably should have said it this way. 1.2 million as opposed to 1.7 million. How's that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that works.
That's much more clear. And at Ulster was 1.9 million as opposed to 1.9. It was close to 1.9. Yeah. Very, very close. So, okay. No questions on that? That was pretty straightforward.
Okay, recycling.
So Melinda and I prepared a handout for the board that summarizes some of our education and outreach program milestones that we hit last year. So we're really excited to provide that information for the board. We've implemented a lot of program tracking strategies because it's really essential to us to know how many participants are being reached by the different outreach strategies that we have. So I won't go through that in too much depth, but I did want to read just a brief summary of some of the findings from that report. For the whole year 2019, Melinda and I completed 194 hours of direct community engagement. So that includes every workshop, public speaking, events, community festivals, facility tours, that's direct one-on-one engagement that we've had, totaling 2,412 adult participants and about 600 youth participants in all of those programs. For indirect community engagement, we've kind of summarized for you the different types of newsletters, blasts that we've sent to over 3,000 subscribers. Our social media audience has grown pretty substantially this year. And when you look at all the several radio stations that we air PSAs on, we estimate that it's reaching over a million listeners across all of those. Looking at the print ads that we run, we estimate there's about 62,000 local readers between all the different ads. We've summarized all the mentions that Ucker has been mentioned in the news in that packet as well. So I hope that you do have the opportunity to kind of thumb through that and let us know if you have any questions about any of that. Regarding the household hazardous waste collection program, if I could draw your attention to that, a summary of the year collection events is provided there. We had over 1,000 participants in 2019, recovering over 27,000 pounds of hazardous waste and almost 7,000 gallons of liquid hazardous waste. So we're certainly really pleased with that result and increase from the previous year. Lastly, the packet also includes a preview calendar all the way at the end that shows some of the monthly topics, workshops, and other community engagement plans that we have for 2022, including a series of informational meetings, both for the business community and also one for school administrators. Melinda and I are planning our composting seminars that will run in the spring, which are always very popular and well attended. And we're also planning new workshops that kind of address spring cleaning and other hard to recycle items like textiles and film plastics and alternatives to household hazardous waste. So we're certainly looking ahead, and I gotta say our calendar's already filling up. We have events on there for later in June, so it's always good. We keep busy. I will provide this to you electronically as well, so that you can click through the slide that has the radio ads on them. You can actually click and listen to all of those PSAs. So I will follow up with that. For our program update for the month of January, our social media message is Know Your Program or Know Before You Throw, which kind of addresses wishful recycling or recycling contamination. We have one promo that's running on WAMC, so the copy of that ad is provided in this section. Melinda and I had the opportunity to do one presentation this month, one facility tour, and one special meeting. So we're short in the outreach education category, but certainly making up for it down in the report section. We have the annual recycling report, which is active. So for the new board members, we do this survey every year in January to collect waste characterization data from all of the haulers, all the large generators like grocery stores, retail outlets, all the schools, town halls, town recycling centers, et cetera, and we compile all that data on behalf of Ulster County and other reports that can be provided once they're completed for HHW, organics, and electronics. Melinda and I took a look at the board update and kind of reorganized this a little bit, so it may look a little differently for you, but hope you find the changes to be helpful.
The month of December, we did 7,979 tons of MSW and 2,091 tons of C&D. You see the breakout for the year total. We did 100,462 of MSW and 35,564. The increase you'll see on the right from the prior year is we were actually down 905 tons. But, which I think that's 1% or so, but we were up almost 3,600 tons of C&D. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out in 2020. And I'm glad we added that to this report this year. On the revenue side, there's no line items of note in December, so our total revenues were $1,180,591. Down on the expense side, you'll see personnel costs. For December, which is always notoriously higher for accruals, we did $351,802. We do an accrual year-end for compensated absences, which is accrued sick and vacation time. That expense was $72,607, and we do budget for that. And we had an accrued payroll, because we accrued 7 and 8 days, respectively, for non-union and union employees. Mm-hmm. So that's payroll items that were paid in 2020, but they were 2019 workdays. So we accrue that at year-end as well. And that was for $51,593. Administration expense for the month, $35,959. $1,505 related to engineering services for the solid waste management plan, and $10,039 for the Eco Park. Vehicle maintenance facility, $21,429, relates to the purchase of an elevator and a lift at the VMF, partially for safety reasons. We have a storage area. I'm assuming most of you have never been down there. We have a filing room upstairs, and we have a storage area upstairs. And in order to carry that stuff, it'll be much safer with this elevator and lift instead of dragging it up metal stairs. So that was part of the reason why we did that.
It's a mezzanine.
Yeah. Yep. Mezzanine. Composting operations, $9,127, related to the purchase of the compost bags for $3,475, and we did a 2,000-hour service on the L60 loader for $3,089. Total expenses for the month, $1,084,645, which gave us net operating revenues of $95,946. Capital outlay was for the purchase of a lowboy trailer, $52,834. Which gave us a positive fund balance for the month of $43,112. Our year-to-date number, we ended up finishing at a positive $902,192, which is an increase of almost $400,000 over the prior year, but you keep in mind we were discussing last month about the loader. We have items that are earmarked. We're just waiting for them to be delivered, over $300,000 worth of equipment, plus the loader that we're going to purchase. So we don't do what's called encumbrance accounting here. Those are budget items, but in that case, that's kind of what we're doing. You would have what's called outstanding encumbrances, which is just a fancy term for taking appropriations from one budget year and moving them to the next one so that they don't mess around with, you know, your tax calculations and all that, which we don't have to worry about here. So even though that is, you know, over 900,000, we do have, you know, plans to spend that money. So overall it was a good year. I did go through and do a budget variance and everything, and most of the differences just relate to the volume, be it volume related revenues or volume related expenses. But overall it was a good year. And I'll have the auditors here in a couple weeks.
Good job, board. Board, you made money. Yeah. Now we got to spend it.
We did.
We did, and we are.
Yeah.
Load up that fund balance.
We just got to approve that. We just got to approve it.
Oh.
Yeah. Entertain a motion to accept the treasurer's
report.
So moved. I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The MRF cost center analysis for 2019, it was December, was, you know, more of the same. We had no tipping fees, of course. Total sale of recyclables was $13,405. We did sell plastics for $10,008. Our expenses, personnel was a total of $30,076 for the month. And the operating expenses, $5,830, giving us total personnel and operating expenses for the month of $35,906, giving us a net loss of the month of $23,862, and a net loss for the entire year of $296,136. I think we all know the story.
So, Tim, but you have a monthly average for 2018.
Yeah, yep.
But you don't have a total for 2018.
No. I found I used to do that, but it wasn't helpful when you're going month to month.
Okay.
And with all the fluctuations that we see, like with the markets or when we sell loads, I found it better to, when you're comparing, to, you know, run it out across the entire year and balance it out, because we have volume that comes in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see the revenue from those processing expenses, you know, across the other months.
Okay.
You know, so it's we don't do a lot of volume, really. So it's you try to find a way that's a helpful comparison from month to month. And I found that the average worked out a lot better than the totals did.
Okay, so you gave us a monthly average for 2018. Do we have a similar monthly average for 2019?
Well, next month.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay.
I can always keep a running total on here. It's just another column. I just found it when I look at it and I review it, I have tried it several ways, and I always like to, you know, sometimes just doing the prior year's month doesn't always work out. Like I said, when you sell something, like we've talked about those UBC loads in previous months, and sometimes that's a big sale. In the days when we were selling for, you know, 70 cents a pound, and it has a major impact, but it's only that one time. So I don't want that to throw the numbers in total off course, because it can be a little misleading.
Because UBC you might sell once a year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you catch it in that one month, it's going to skew everything.
But you're paying those processing expenses throughout all the months, you know, before you have enough bales to where you can actually sell a load.
And UBC, by the way, is the aluminum for everyone.
Yeah.
Thank God we still pull the nickels right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So glass we're actually paying to get rid of, I guess.
Yes.
Yep.
It's actually a bargain, though. Most places have them, but we're paying $40 a ton to get rid of it. A lot of places are anywhere from $55 to $60 a ton. So that's actually a really good price. But we have really good clean glass.
Right.
You know, it's separated at the drop center by the residents, so it's all clean. There's no ceramics, there's no light bulbs. So that's why, you know, the price to get rid of it is more reasonable than MRF glass. There's a lot of garbage.
And it's picked up.
Which has price for like the one.
I have to tell you, I accidentally threw a glass jar into the plastics yesterday.
They gave me a call.
Yeah.
They got you.
least two job questions.
Yeah.
Too far to dig.
Yeah.
Catherine, I'm going to admit it in a public meeting, I've done the same.
I was so careful, and all of a sudden, how did that get in there?
Yeah, I've done it too at the town of Olive Transfer Station accidentally.
So it's costing us almost $48 per ton to recycle everything.
In 2019 it did, yeah.
It's, so 2018 it cost $38 then? So, if that material was treated as trash, we would be paying $103, right?
No, we'd be getting paid $103, and then it would be costing... In 2019, it cost us about $54 a ton. So the difference between those two, you know, was almost $60. Or $50, I'm sorry. So it would be a positive number down there. But we use that money to help offset this in the MRF.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it pays salaries, benefits, and it pays... There's a lot of things. Debt service is a big thing. So that's why it's only cost us maybe 54 a ton to ship it out, but we're charging 103 because there's other things in there that we have to pay for.
And Angie asked me this question, too, about processing. And sometimes it's tough to give a strong answer because when you talk about on the garbage side of things, 136,000 tons that you're doing calculations and averages on, you see here on the MRF, you're talking about 5,000-6,000 tons. It's all. It doesn't. One major repair, you know, you replace a cylinder, or you do the infeed belts down there. That major repair, look at how much it's going to swing some numbers on here. Mm-hmm. We don't do a lot of volume. We really don't.
Just the pumps.
Not compared to garbage. I mean,
just the pumps every 5 years. You know, that's $70,000.
Yeah. So that she asked me over the past month, and I hesitate a little bit to get an answer because I can tell you what it has been. But I don't know, you can't always fully rely on it without looking at across multiple years to get a good number.
I mean, eventually we're going to have to replace the cylinder on the Marathon, and you're looking at probably about $50,000 to $60,000. So when you look at the prices and what the MRF's doing, it's going to be a hard pill to swallow.
But that's why we try to stay proactive and keep the equipment in good shape and so forth, and try to keep the expenses down because we don't want to go back to the legislature when that service fee. We haven't done that for the past 5 years.
Longer than that.
Huh?
7 years.
7 years, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know,
otherwise, we'd have to go back to the legislature and they'd have to, you know, come up with money. And we try not to do that. We try to be self-sufficient. So that's why we're really trying to operate this as a business.
I mean, honestly, when you look at the markets, I mean, honestly, $300,000 is a lot of money, but when you look at the way the markets are and how uncertain things are, you know, it's not a real bad number. I mean, you know, it could be worse. It could be $1 million when you look at the conditions. And it hasn't gotten any better. So, I mean, $300,000 is not a bad number. I mean, it is because it's a loser, but it could be $1 million.
But we kept the tipping fee flat on the garbage end, which, you know, pays for this. So, you know, we're still being very cost-efficient and doing the recycling as we said we would.
You know, we used to have a payroll of $35,000-$36,000 down at the Merck. And if you look at it, you know, we're pretty lean down there now. So if you look at it now, every month, it's 13, 16, 21, 15. Mm-hmm. So we were around 35, 36 back in the day. We were still losing on that number. So pretty good.
Okay, moving on. Resolutions. We have one resolution.
Resolutions for a new tractor, Charlie's Toys. Charlie, you want to take this? You want to talk about your tractor?
Yep, so this is for a tractor. We got dump trailers coming. I was talking to Tim Rose in my office this morning for an hour. We went over a bunch of stuff. Tim McGrath and I have been going over this stuff when Tim was out on a lot of this stuff. So we got dump trailers coming. We got a low boy that we now have. We have another trailer. We got this property over here that we want to do something with. So, and we got, of course, LeachJet. Currently, I have one good tractor for LeachJet and running material down to the public. So I keep my fingers crossed every day because LeachJet's number one, of course, because it's up to move material or else new material can't come in. That means people can't dump. I mean, you'll get phone calls about that. So this tractor is actually going to be a third tractor to the one that we're still waiting on, right, Tom? By the way, I got Tom Selpo. He is a Mac guy. If anybody has any questions specific to the Mac, he's been really quiet. I asked him to do that. this will be the third tractor, right, because even new equipment breaks down. I've had three excavators break down on a Saturday. That's the reality of it. So this will be our third tractor. So I can keep my lead check going, I can keep my walking floor trailers going, and if we have to do things with dump trailers and low boys and the other trailer we have that capability of doing that. All of our other tractors are 97s. Most of them are yard dogs now, or we got rid of them, so that's kind of where we're at right now. So this tractor will be to keep us going and further our operations to do things, and not and possibly bail us out if the other two tractors go down.
So what's the delivery date on this one? I seem to think that we have this, you know, we put out this money and then we have this long.
The last couple of years, Class A trucking industry has gone berserk. Mm-hmm. You know, 17, 18, and 19. Now it's come back down to normal. Mm-hmm. So you're probably looking at an April, May type build date for this. Okay. Well, last year was 9-10 months. But the our industry is very cyclical, and everybody's bought the last couple of years, so everybody's well off. Now we're going back into more normal. It's usually about a 90-day build date, so we're getting closer to that again.
Does that have anything to do with like Section 179 deductions that the companies are buying it? Because they can expend something like that in a full year?
And, you know, tax break did a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of sugar in the water there.
Right.
And they started buying it, because 2017 was also the last of the emission enhancements on these Class A trucks. So people waited until that went, and then they started buying.
Gotcha.
I mean, they took that money and they, you know, the capital purchases for all the trucking industries and everything. And the economy, you know, took off a bit, and everybody was buying trucks.
So you're saying,
why, but I was happy about it.
You're saying your truck we're ordering today will have it in April?
April, May, and then I'd have to place the order to get an exact build date out of the factory.
Did we get the other one that we ordered last year? We didn't get that.
That was part of my.
That'll be here Monday.
Oh.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And when did we order it?
A while ago.
Yeah.
We brought the truck and we had to put on what's known as a wet line. There's a hydraulic tank that holds about 70 gallons. They put that on, they put the PTO on, everything up, and then the tank itself was leaking, so they had to turn around and reorder another tank from, you know, a vendor. I mean, they don't put them on at the factory, you know, the dealership puts them on. That took a little extra. It took a long time to get a couple more questions about it.
Hey, Tom, I'm gonna put you on the spot here, but the chairman every once in a while asked me about our Mack tour.
Okay.
Is that still in the work? That still
possible? Yeah, I've been nursing a bad back the last couple.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I had surgery out of here a while ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so.
You think
staying on my feet for long periods of time is a little problematic, but it's gotten better, so.
Oh,
I feel like I'm just about up to it now.
After a knee injury, I feel.
Yeah, we're going to have to put you and me in a car and we'll drive around the back. Yeah. It's over a million square foot factory.
Wow.
So it takes about an hour to go around, maybe even longer. Depending on who the guide is, because they like to talk to and explain things to you.
Yeah.
So that's, you're on your feet for quite a while.
Wow.
So.
Where is this place?
Mekungi, Pennsylvania.
Right outside of Allentown, right?
Yeah, outside of Allentown. Oh, Mack was originated in 1900. They were building trucks in Brooklyn. Huh. And then around 1908, they went out to the Allentown area.
Buy for the steel.
Right.
Formerly
yeah.
Steel.
Yeah.
You know, for the information of the board, we have a truck on the road every day, going either down to Beacon or doing a weekend. So, I mean, it's crucial that we have trucks available, and when one breaks down, we need that second truck, or sometimes two break down, we need that third truck.
Well, I want to venture also a little bit with you and just say, right, looking ahead, right, next year, right, sled bid comes up. There has been discussions as far as us being a little bit more self-sufficient as far as moving the sludge along ourselves. So we have that. We also write glasses. I don't know, anytime I could get a phone call saying, yeah, we don't pick it up anymore. And if something comes closer, like up in Albany, we might be hauling it ourselves. So, you know, at some point in time, if you see us venture out and expand out that way, you may even be approving another tractor because there's no way I can keep up on running paper, running lead chat, especially when you look at the lead chat. So last December versus December prior to that, we did 150,000 gallons more. So between the leachate, running the paper, and then if we do something with glass, and if we do something with sludge, and running our own stone and taking care of our own sites with these dump trailers, is another thing. So.
And just let me add that, you know, when Charlie talks about running leachate, that tank is a 7,000 gallon tanker. So that's 7,000 gallons at a time, 150,000 gallons. That's a lot.
So, so you take 500,000 gallons, and that's just us. That's not Chalky Hill. That's not Hurley. That's not these other places. That's not our own tanks, underground tanks here at this facility. This is just our new vaults in Ulster. You take 500,000 gallons and divide that by seven. You know, so that's how many pulls we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we have one tractor right now, and that tractor. So dividing that, you know, we're running around like crazy trying to make sure we keep a zero tipping fee down at the paper place. Last December, we had all that rain. We had all that leachate. We did, I think, 225,000 gallons of leachate in 1 week. So how do you get the paper down there and take advantage of that zero tipping fee and get all that leachate with just one tractor? It's tough. We were able to set up.
Charlie, Monday we'll have two tractors, remember?
Hopefully.
I think he promised it.
Well, I'm going to be off Monday. They have the Super Bowl.
And Tom don't even like
Tuesday morning.
And Tom don't even like
football. He just watches the commercials.
So this third trailer is really going to help us, you know, keep current things moving and maybe give us a little bit more opportunity. Instead of running 20-yard boxes up to Callahan for all the stone and stuff we need, we can use our dump trailers when they come. They should be coming in February, dump trailers, just so you guys know. So and this third tractor, you know what I mean, is gonna lessen things up, make us breathe a little bit easier. And if we have to do some things with sludge and do some things with glass, you could be sitting here and approving another tractor.
But measured 64 feet.
I'm sorry,
Kevin? Down at the bottom it says Granite GR 64-foot tractor. What measures 64 foot? It's something 64 feet long, not a page before.
Well, the tractor is 64 feet long.
Yeah. That's the tractor and trailer, right?
No, there's no.
No, it's 64 feet.
I'm trying to look where she sees that.
Oh, I see a big green thing.
No, on the bottom of the page of the agenda.
It's a 64-foot tractor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, no, no.
If you look on the second page, you'll see chassis quote, quoted.
Granted, it's 64 foot.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's a 64 FT model.
Okay.
And when it was brought over to the resolution, it was translated to foot. Right? Is it Mike correct?
Yeah. 64 FT is for the forward axle version of it.
Yeah. That's the model number.
So that this needs to be corrected.
Yeah, it's not 64 foot tractor. It's a 64 FT tractor. Yeah.
FT so amended. Capital. Oh, okay.
Well, I
changed it all the way to Charlie's trucks a couple of years ago. It went from a GU to a GR. You know,
okay, so it needs to be corrected.
Corrected orally to read 64 FT tractor.
But also in the whereas.
And then in the third whereas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So up here, there. That's it.
Three spots.
Yeah. Three? I see two. Oh, I see a third. Okay.
Top?
Yep.
Second paragraph, yep, third
got it.
Paragraph.
Got it. Thank you.
Open for vote.
I would so moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously. Okay.
Should we add that it will be delivered before May 1st?
As soon as I replace the order, I will let Charlie know as to a bill date on it.
That's going to be a 2021.
It's like cars.
Yes.
Catherine, it's just like cars. Yeah, you buy a car now, it's a 21 coming out.
Yeah, you can get a car in July. Yeah.
Don't.
You don't pay me enough to be on this board to buy me a car.
And if they pay you on this board, then I'm like getting screwed. And being a technician.
We didn't tell you about the pay.
I'm getting it.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah.
What's that?
Do you have any old business?
I got several stuff I want to bring. I just have to bring up on a new business.
Okay.
All right. Just a couple of things. I just want to remind the board. This time every year, and I usually wait for the new board members to come on, so we don't have to do it twice, but we redo the org chart. Sometimes I do it mid-year, too, okay, if there's a lot of changes. So we want to do the org chart. I usually do that when the new board members are appointed so I can put them in place and so forth. But and also, too, we also email out, and this is something Brenda's going to start probably working on. You don't know this yet, but you've done it in the past.
as the updated contract list. I think that's really important for the board to see. And we do that once a year because a lot of the contracts end in December. So you know what contracts are due this year, which contracts are due next year, expire, and so forth. So you'll expect to see that pretty soon. Speaking of contracts, the three that are off the top of my head that you guys should be aware of is, Charlie mentioned briefly, the sludge is up this year. Mm-hmm. We have a couple ideas how we want to handle that, which I can get into a little further once I know a little more. But the other two big ones you really got to be concerned with, too, not concerned, but be aware of, it's a better word, not concerned, is the union contract is up to, at the end of the year, so we're going to start union negotiations probably in the June time frame. And
Towns.
Oh, my gosh. I just totally had a seam, totally blanked out. I knew it was a big one. The towns. That's a big one. So all the town contracts are up. There were five-year contracts.
That 5 years is done already?
Can you believe that?
That goes too fast.
It seems like we just did them. Just to give the board a little, some of the board members obviously weren't here at the time 5 years ago, but you know, there was a time we almost closed down the roll-off business. The board was really seriously considering that 5 years ago. There was some opposition and so forth, so the board ended up staying on, but they had to put some additional requirements in the contracts. So so we ended up with five-year contracts. We purchased probably about $500,000 worth of equipment to service those towns because a lot of the equipment was end of life. So we amortized that over a 10-year period. It was decided at that time and just allow the allow the contracts to expire in 5 years with the hopes that the towns would sign up for an additional 5 years. So the HC can get its money back in those investments. So whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. Some towns may sign on, some may not. The first round, a couple of towns did drop off, like town of Ulster and town of Saugerties. They decided to service themselves.
Marbletown did too, but then they came back.
But then a new supervisor came in and asked if he could jump back into the contract because the previous supervisor didn't want to be in it, so we allowed them to come in. But they all expired at the end of the year. So, you know, pretty soon I'll be contacting the Supervisor Association. They meet once a month, and I'll probably be talking to them, which is what I did last time, letting them know it's coming around, and we're going to be sending contracts around with the hopes that you'll be resigning for an additional 5 years. I'm probably going to approach them very soon in the next month or two, give them a heads up. Because what happened last time is, you know, for Tim Tim normally writes the budget in June, July time frame. We always get it to the board in August. Okay, so and that's our time frame. So last time we had this go around, we had indicated to the supervisors that we wanted an answer whether or not you wanted to sign on or didn't want to sign on by middle of July, July 14th or 15th or something, because we needed to know what to put in for our budget, whether or not they were going to in or out. So I assume, unless this board has another option, we're probably going to go down the same sort of path. So I want to give them enough heads up. We'll start talking to them in February, March time frame, so we can start moving on this, if they're going to have to give us an answer by July or so. And again, we don't have the union contract will probably start in June, somewhere in that time frame. We got to the end of the year to worry about that one. So
June's going to be a busy month.
It's going to be busy. Yeah, very busy. So I think that's it. So you look forward to seeing the new org chart and the contract list, especially the contract list. I'm sure you guys will probably really be interested in it. I know I study it pretty thoroughly when I get it. Because I need to know, I have to be on top. I don't want the contracts to expire and we don't have services for some reason. So.
That's it.
I think that's. Do you have anything,
the doors,
Charlie?
Are done on their old business.
The doors, Charlie, or not Charlie, Willie and Billy worked on the doors this morning. They were in here. So that's now they just got to put the trim back up and stain them or paint them. I think we're painting them, aren't we? I think Willie said he's going to paint it the same as the other door, red, that deep red. I don't know, match the other door outside. So hopefully those will be completed, but yeah.
That'll get completed in 2021.
Under old business. Under old business.
Okay, do we have any new business to be brought forward for? Was that old business?
That was new.
We're done with old business.
We're done with old business. Okay, I got a few questions on your invoices and expenditures. And
We spent $1,165.50 for 30 hoodies.
For what?
High visibility hoodies.
30 hoodies.
Yes.
What is that?
That's for the employees. High visibility and for the employees out in the field.
There's those fluorescent yellow things, okay. OSHA. So
it's a safety vest.
They're right. The OSHA yeah. things, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Falling snow and ice signs, $975?
Correct, for every one of the buildings, because the way these buildings are designed, they're metal roofs, so the snow comes down, you have to be careful.
Okay.
The signs aren't going to stop the snow from hitting you, but at least somebody can say, hey, they had signs.
That was at December 2nd snowstorm that we had.
We had a new name to Seneca Meadows, IESI Seneca Meadows.
It's always been there.
IESI purchased and acquired Seneca Meadows. From, you
know. What does it stand for?
I forget what it stands for.
I forget.
I don't know either.
IF?
No, okay. All right.
I have one of their hats at home. It says IESI. I don't know what it stands for.
I got
a ball cap.
I think it was Canadian. Now Waste Connection. So Waste Connection now is the owner of Seneca. But everybody still calls it Seneca.
Yeah, the entity is still Seneca Metal. So right, let's do a check if it's got to.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, I want to make one more thing.
Okay.
We got these emails with the changes that Cornerstone has made to the plan. Now, how are we going to go about deciding whether we're happy with all of them? A couple of people responded they were condemned. I haven't finished reading it, so I haven't made a decision yet. But I was just wondering how we're going to do it.
That's up to you guys, however you want to, how you want to coordinate that. I just need from the board on a final, whatever, when the board says, Tim, this is what we want, and I'll make sure the Cornerstone gets it done for you guys. Just let me know if you're happy or not happy or what you want, Justin. I'll make sure.
Suggestion?
Sure, make a suggestion.
No, you.
I really thought a lot about it because I realized it's on my to-do list, and right now
probably email it, right?
Stuff in my brain, not.
Email it so everybody can see it and
actually, maybe they'll like. Joanne should be part of this.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That was my second one.
Kathy was just talking about how you want to address the comments that Cornerstone sent out.
Me personally, or
well, no? How you want everybody else to know about it?
Yeah. How do you want to coordinate this?
We have to do something to officialize. Yeah.
Because I was telling Kathy, once the board gives me whatever comments you have, I'll make sure it gets to Cornerstone and it gets done.
Yeah.
How do you want to accomplish that?
I think that we should read them and comment via like an email chain.
That's what I suggested.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You want to put a deadline on it?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay.
And then I'll get it to Cornerstone and they can come up with a final. And then the final will be ready for public.
Okay, so I've read it 3 times, so I'm ready to.
Yeah, I've read it, but I need to think, and I need to, also take in the other comments.
A week? Is that enough for the board?
By next Monday night?
Or
by Tuesday
2 weeks?
Next week?
Well, what's your pleasure?
I would say 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks.
Okay.
So that would be.
You want to say like Friday next week? Close of business Friday.
What should be?
Okay. Well, either 2 weeks from today would be February 10th, or are you looking at?
It doesn't matter. That Friday or Monday.
Yeah,
what's
the start?
I do a lot of work on the weekends.
What? Yeah.
Make it February 10th.
Okay. February 10th. Okay.
So if I have any debatable things, I'll try to get them out
earlier.
Before that, so we have a lot of time to review them. If I have anything, I don't know.
Okay. So you go to 2:10.
2:10. Okay.
2:10.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I just got it.
Okay.
Do you want to get
so
an
all the 10, and we'll send everything to Tim to you.
I'm sorry, sir.
I say we'll send it to you.
Yeah, just keep me in the email loop.
Okay. Okay.
And once I feel comfortable that everybody's good and everybody's happy, then I'll make sure Cornerstone gets them so they can finalize this and we can send it out to the public or publicize it or however you want to do it. And then they got to send it to DEC. They have to change the plan too and accordingly. So.
Well, if we make any changes.
If you do.
Whatever adjustments are made, then they have to go back to DEC with it, have them okay it, and send it back to us.
Right. They have to do. They have to change the plan accordingly, right. However you want it, mm-hmm. And they have to have the public comment, and their how they their answers to the public. Your answer to the public comment, actually, it's yours, and DEC wants to see both of those.
And do those get appended to the plan? The public comments and our responses. I think that they should
that's
be.
A good question.
I think they should be.
Yeah, the DEC did that on the regulations, Tim. You can get all the questions and
they
stuff.
Never have. On that. They never have because they incorporated in the plan that they sent back to us. That's good.
Would you like it as an appendix?
I think it would be really good if and that actually shows the public that their input is important.
Well, not only that, too, but it saves a lot of back and forth with telephone calls and what were the comments. Yeah. And if it's actually in the plan
as an appendix,
it answers everybody's question, which that's a great idea.
Thank you.
That's something you're going to have to discuss that with Mark.
I'll tell Mark that's why I want
it. We're not going to pay him more money for that.
No, he'll just add him as an appendix.
He already has all of this.
Unless there's something out there that DEC wouldn't want it that way that I'm not aware of, but
I don't know.
But as long as DEC is okay with it, we'll do it that way. That's fine.
They did
it
with regulations.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful.
It would be. It's a good idea.
Okay, let's ask him to do that.
I will. I'll take care of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
I have one last thing. If you way back when you remember, we had a presentation from New Paltz, town supervisor, and at that point I was going to get the lease from the town attorney. Well, I saw the town attorney about a month ago, and he said he would get it to me. I never got it, but somehow through emails, the supervisor found out that I hadn't got it yet, and this morning I got all 40 pages of it. So.
Have you sped read through it?
So. Okay. We're moving somehow.
That's right. Okay. I was doing emails while I'm shopping in Hanford with Ken and with the engineer and the town.
Well, it was very similar to what we did in Ulster, so we really didn't have a problem with it.
No.
To my knowledge, anyhow.
It's a little different situation because Ulster, landfill, we own.
We owned.
New Paltz, we don't own the landfill, but we have to maintain it.
Right.
It's a little different.
Yeah. But we're not as much involved.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not just the landfill.
So where are they at in their process? Yes. They're done.
Right. The lease. I'm just reviewing it, but they're not. They aren't close to completing it. I don't believe. Okay. Yeah. They had a delay, but I don't know what kind.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
What happens if someone says nay? No.
You'll be having your meeting here by yourself.
You do not have to leave.
That's the rest of the
time. Tom, we're going to sign that
deal. But you will be very long.